Hello everyone, welcome back to the Run Strong podcast with me, Gary House. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of June, I think. Might be wrong, but it is the first day of rain, persistent rain since, I can't remember when to be honest. We've had all this great weather in the last few weeks and today it has been rain, well, woke up to rain. It rained through the night. And it's raining now, so if you can hear, you'll probably be able to hear it on the windscreen. I'm just sat in the car after taking Fergie out for a run. So, yeah, if you can hear a bit of slurping going on as well, that is honestly Fergie in the back of the car. There's no one else here. If you can hear some licking going on. She's having a bit of a clean down. But it is, yeah, it's been not too long since we had the last podcast. I'm doing these little catch-ups and then the interviews afterwards. Bit of a mixture, just as and when, to be honest. The first episode, thanks for all the feedback with Owen, and his run streak. That's coming up after this, the second part. And I will just go over what we touched on last week was the fact that I was going to run the Centurion 100-mile event, the virtual community challenge, One Love, whatever you want to call it. You had to run... I had to run 100 miles in 1 week and I chose to do it in 1 day, or in 1 go rather. And there was lots of positives. One big negative was a DNF. If you follow me on Strava or Instagram, you'll know that by now. But I was due to go off at 1 a.m. Friday to Saturday morning. So Saturday morning, 1 a.m. Set my alarm for 12:30, had everything ready and I would just get off up the hill. I'd set up a checkpoint the day before. Now, that became more of a problem than I first realised, because the lap that I would be running was about 5 kilometres away from the house, because in Wales we were still couldn't travel. If we were doing that challenge this week, I'd be able to drive to some of my runs, but that was not a option last weekend. So I set up a checkpoint up around the reservoir where I was going to be running my laps. Around 5k laps was the original plan, about 5k away from home. But it's kind of a 300 metre climb up out the hill. Once you're up there, there's no access, so there's no one that could support me, even if they wanted to. And there was no access to water, even though you're running around a Welsh water reservoir. So there's no running water or anything. And it was one of the hottest days, as I'm sure you all kind of remember, of the year so far, I think. So it took, I think I carried up in the end 16 litres of water. I did it in 2 goes in the end, because it was just, hurting my arms and shoulders too much. Filled up my Old Faithful scuba bag, and I never scuba dive. It was for the Dragon's Back race that never got used, but that's another story. Filled that up. Lugged up the water, 2 goes of that. It left me feeling pretty knackered, if I'm honest. I took the bare minimum. It was a good kind of exercise in planning. And I'm not really used to, because I was planning to run 100 miles, totally unsupported. So I just took, it was water. I did take a bottle of Coke, a couple of those cans of coffees, a bunch of Haribos, and then my gels and energy that I was going to get from mountain fuel mainly, and a bunch of flapjack and some fruit and cheese. So I kept it to a minimum. I did take a spare jacket just in case it was cold in the day. I took, what else did I take? Nothing much else. Took it all up into the forest, hid it in some bushes basically, and the plan was to run up the next day and start the run. So I started the timer from the day I left. I left late as well. I didn't leave till about 2:15. For some reason, well, not for some reason, because I know now, I'd slept through the alarm and something woke me at 2 a.m. It must be that your body clock just knows that I should have been up running. I don't know. But I woke up at 2 a.m, looked at the clock, and I had that kind of 10-second feeling of, oh, I'm just going to leave it, because it wasn't a particular race, was it? But yeah, that lasted a couple of seconds. We've all been there, I reckon, when you oversleep. And yeah, I got up, got my kit on, and I was out the door in 1/4 hour, which isn't ideal. I had a glass of water, but that was it. As I was running up the road, up into the forest, I was a bit of a zombie. I can't even remember it now. If you ask me what kind of... I know which route I've took, but I can't remember much of it. Must have been still half asleep. And looking back on the pace, it was ridiculous. It took me a while to get going. Got up to the checkpoint and I had to kind of do a bit of sorting that out, kind of get it out from the bush, take a couple of more litres up to the actual reservoir, which was a bit of a more hiking. So the first hour or so was a bit of messing around and just getting moving. But after that, it was quite easy to kind of just get going, really, and felt quite comfortable. 3 to 4 a.m. was, you could still see where the sun was coming up a little bit. Sunrise was just after 4. I was into my running by then. Didn't really kind of get into my easy stride, I reckon, until sunrise. It gave me a bit of a boost. I woke up properly. I had a coffee, can of coffee on the move. During that time, the amount of wildlife I saw was ridiculous. I've never seen so much up there. And there's a guy, lad down the road, Chris, that he's up there a lot mountain biking. Because I was discussing with him, I saw this animal that was low down to the ground, black, bushy, big fat black bushy tail, quite small. So he thinks it was either, we've narrowed it down to a mink, an otter, because it's by the water, a mink, an otter, or maybe a cat. But yeah, it definitely wasn't a cat. Anyway, sunrise came and I was going okay, 10k an hour without any issues. The heat started to feel a heat at probably 8 a.m. was the first time I felt it, and that just dictated my effort. I could have ran a little bit quicker if it was cooler. I could have ran a bit quicker if I'd stayed in the shade, but then that was a bit more lumpy and more twists and turns, so I chose to stay out of the shade a bit more. And it was just more of a mental test, to be honest. And as the hours clicked on, I knew that it was kind of comfortable. It wasn't stressing me too much. I had to stay within my limits with the heat. And I got to 80K in 8 hours. And I'd fueled really well all the way along. 80 grams of carbs per hour. I know that I'd done that because of the amount of gels that I'd done on liquids. Little bits more on top. I was planning to experiment with a bit more than that, carbs per hour, due to the latest science that has been coming out recently. But yeah, just the heat wouldn't have let me do that. I didn't want to risk it anyway. And then, so between 8 hours and 9 hours, there was a bit more. I had to put a bit more effort in just to keep the pace. I'd say that much. I was drinking more water. It was the middle of the day, though, remember. It was coming up to literally midday. And then, I just went through one of the rocky sections because it's like disused, like mountain bike trails and that kind of thing. And the step that I took that turned it into a DNF was, I'm talking kind of 6 inches off a rock. And I just, imagine you like sometimes when you misjudge a curb slightly walking down it. That's what it felt like, really innocuous. But straight away, there was a sharp shooting pain into my knee, on the outside of my knee. I limped along for about 10 strides, really painful. Instantly thought I was done with then, although I didn't know what was wrong with it. Walked it off for about 10, 20 metres, started to try and run again, and I did. Got up to speed for about half a lap without pain, which was really weird. So I didn't have pain, got up to speed, and thought, oh, thank God for that. But I did need water, so stopped at the checkpoint for water, refilled my water bottle, couldn't really feel anything again. And then as I went to run off, the pain came again. So I don't know if it was adrenaline that had just worn off. The signal was clear. Stop running now, mate, because the shooting pain went up through my hamstring, up into my bum. It was a weird pain. And it almost gave me like a dead leg. I was walking with like a dead leg for a couple of steps. And at that point, it was almost like decision made. That was it. Because you're not going to death march it 5k from home and it's not a proper race. But I covered 90k in 9 hours, a little bit over 9:05, 9:10, I think, in the end, with the walking and messing around my knee. Packed up my stuff and went home. And that was that. But I was happy with the 9 hours and kind of 90k. Considering how easy it felt. Yeah, I don't know if I'd have carried on and just stayed at that pace, but it seemed okay. I've done that before in 24 hours. I've gone 12, 13 hours, matching 10K an hour, and then kind of deteriorated a bit. Since then, the knee has actually been all right. Lots of people ask me on Instagram. So thank you. It's although I said, you know, DNF because of the knee, it wasn't a massive trauma to the knee or anything. It's more precaution. I've been running on it since. And just kept it to 45 minutes easy every day. Showed some discipline there. It was a little bit painful coming downstairs on the Sunday afterwards. And if I press on the ligament on the outside, there is still a bit of pain. But I have to really press on it now. Sunday, it was sore. Monday, it wasn't sore. What day? Tuesday, couldn't feel anything unless I pressed on it. Wednesday today, I'm just having a rub of it now. Can't feel a lot at all. So hopefully I'll avoid the physio and just ease back into it. Coach Martin, spoke to him, and yeah, we're back to it from Friday. Anyway, that is how my Centurion 100 went. Not the result I wanted. The 100 still kind of is out to get me. I've not had a good race at 100 miles yet. I'm sure it'll happen one day. The great thing was, though, again, I didn't want to jeopardise the Sunday because Winter had been running all week. My four-year-old daughter, she'd been ploughing ahead. She'd originally entered the 5K, then upgraded to the 10K. So she'd, in the end, completed something like 12 to 15K. We lost count in the end, and she never knew what her target was. It was just, if you want to go and run today, let's go and run. And every day she did, apart from one day where she chose to have a spa day, which was, I don't know, she must have been watching something on YouTube, but if you go on my Instagram, you'll see a picture of her with her feet in the bloody washing up bowl. Yeah, Charlotte set that up for her, eye mask on, cooling herself on a beanbag in the garden, saying, I'm having my spa day today, which, you know, all power to her. That's the way to go, rest and recovery. That's where it's at. Maybe I should have done that a bit more the week leading up to it. Had a spa day. Yeah, and Charlotte walked 26 miles. She did the marathon distance, completed that on Sunday. So I needed to help out there. Yeah, so I wasn't going to jeopardise all that. I got to do their last walk runs with them. The One Community was great. For anyone that doesn't know, it was on the Centurion Running. What's their website? CenturionRunning.com, I guess. Just type it to Google. I'm sure you all know about it. They're doing another one in July, the end of July, which will be based on vertical climb, which is probably more up my street, because that's originally what I was going to do last week, wasn't it? If you remember, I said I'm going to do 100 miles over the week, but see how much vert I can gain. So they've nicked my idea, I think. Whether or not I do that will depend on when I do the Paddy Buckley. So I think it's probably going to be a similar time. So maybe it'd be a good time to do the Paddy Buckley, actually do it that week. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. It's the last week of July. That's kind of what I've penciled in for the Paddy Buckley round, depending on restrictions being lifted and all that kind of thing. I am now allowed to drive 5 miles to exercise and run, although it doesn't really matter to me because I'm still be running up the same mountains until it's extended a little bit more than that. It's just invited a few more people to my hills, which is fine. It's raining today, so there's no one here. Yeah, hopefully the Paddy Buckley round training will go well. I'm just desperate to get out into the hills to recce it and have fun in Snowdonia. I'm only 30 minutes drive away from it, so maybe they can just say you can drive 30 minutes, then that would give me a way in. I still won't be able to take any risks in the mountains or anything like that. I'm gonna avoid hindering the mountain rescue at all costs, but yeah, you just stay within your limits, I guess. The same as I'm doing now. If I go up in certain points for a recce who needs hiking or taking more care, then I'll just do that until we're allowed to give it the beans. Anyway, that's enough for me. Enough waffle. That's my update for the week. There's not too much else going on apart from training will restart for the Paddy Buckley round. And thanks for keeping up to date with the podcast. I'll do some more when I can. YouTube is back up and running. If you want to get jump on there, just type in Gary House Run Strong. I'm doing a how-to video every week. We've done how to start strength training for trail and ultra runners, how to fix your ankle stability for anyone that's had an ankle sprain, and there'll be a new one out on Friday, along with a few other like little vlog updates along the way. It's mainly just me learning some new skills and making some good use of my time at home at the minute, to be honest. So yeah, thanks for following, thanks for interacting with me on social media, keep it going, and I will see you on the next podcast. Here is part two with Owen Thomas.
Business. It's also helped me with the running. As I was running along, that's a good idea. Why didn't I come up with that before? It helps sharpen up your mind.
Yeah.
You can solve problems more. So I fully understand when people say, you know, what you said about going out and it sharpens you up ready for the day and stuff. I really do.
When, so nipping back to your London Marathon, because that was an epic tangent we've just gone on.
I wanted to
clear up the London Marathon. So the London Marathon comes along. How did the London Marathon go, number one? And two, because I know a lot of people that build up to something like that, that is a massive goal, a massive target for anyone that's a runner.
Yeah.
Did you wake up? I want to know how the London Marathon went, one, and I want to know how you the next kind of couple of days. Did you wake up thinking that was it as a runner, or did it spark you on again?
So the marathon didn't go as well as I had hoped. I was still pretty pleased. So I finished in 4:23 for my first marathon. I was hoping for sub 4 hours. That was what I was training at, without realizing that was what I was training at.
Yeah.
Things went wrong during the race, injuries popped up, stuff like that, telling a little girl to fuck off, it just didn't go well, but I was still bloody chuffed. You know, I went from couch to marathon in pretty much 16 weeks. I ran a couple races during that training period as well. So I ran my first 4 mile race in 29 minutes. I ran my first 10 mile race in 1 hour 17.
And was all this giving you some confidence? Or
yes, it
were
was.
Were you already a confident guy to begin with? Or because
I'm an outgoing person, as you could probably tell from my stuff. You know, I'm not scared to, you know, wear a fancy dress or stuff like that. I'm quite a reasonably confident person, outgoing person.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to stuff like running and that, I'm still not 100% confident. And you've probably seen it through my stories and some of the things I've written. You know, I still get very nervous. I still worry about how I'm going to perform and, I've sort of got used to a couple DNFs now, so I've done the DNF side of things. And you've looked again, I think people need to have DNFs in their lives so they can learn from it, and how to deal with them afterwards. Otherwise, it's a horrible your first DNF in a race. When it comes to running, I'm not the most confident of runners. Probably caused by myself, mainly because I don't know. I'm probably my biggest critic, like you probably are your biggest critic. I feel I could probably do a lot better, but I know why I don't do a lot better. I think your middle of the pack sort of a talk you did at the running show sort of was me. I sort of stood there going, Is he picking on me? Because I am that pretty. I was pretty much everything. All you had to do was drop my name in, and that would have been me, you know, when you were talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think, because I see what I do, and I have made some slight adjustments in my running over the last year. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm going, he's fucking right. You know, I am a middle of pack runner, and that's the reason why I'm a middle of pack runner. And that, I think, because I know that, my confidence is like, oh, well, I'm not going to be anything better. You know, it's very difficult, isn't it, when you see people that you know as well improving and getting faster and quicker, and you know, they're on the podiums and stuff like that, you're thinking, hold on, you know, how is he doing it? Not me, when we're pretty much running the same things. But you don't realise what else he's doing outside of the running exactly. You know, is he on a specific diet he's been given, or
there's a lot of, you know, is he doing on the podium,
is he doing, yeah, there's a lot of stuff people do that you don't realise, you know. And I think I was that guy who, you know, lacked in confidence in his own running because I was like seeing all that. But now I've moved on a little bit from that, to be honest. I really don't give a shit.
Well, that's it. I think, and that's what I was hoping, that's what the line I was hoping you were going to take, because I think back in that first year of running, when you start bringing, me included, when you start entering a couple of races, like my confidence took a massive knock, really, because I would enter a race and I'd be getting beat by a load of old men or whatever. But in reality, it's like I'm not a runner, even though you could call yourself a runner. It's like that point, yeah. I'm not a runner, kind of thing. And you can look at it one or two ways. Your confidence, I think, has grown, but it's the thing that you're doing hasn't changed. It's just that you're more confident at knowing that you're happy in what you're doing right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's what I want everyone that I coach or everyone that I speak to. Like, people ask me, like, someone asked me on Instagram today actually about my coaching philosophy, and it's like, I don't really care about if it's someone trying to get on a podium or whatever. It's more about, like, are you happy with the progress that you're making right now? Because the progress can come in lots of different ways. It could be just progress can come in with the confidence just to post the fact that they've done a race, or to tell their friends that they're doing this race, or the fact that they're pissing about dancing in the woods like you, kind of thing. Would you have been confident enough to do that 10 years ago in the middle of a run?
Not on a run, no.
Yeah, well, not on a run, yeah.
So it's like, not on a run. I'd probably dance in the middle of the woods naked, but
constantly progressing, and not everyone finds it that easy. It's like the running as a whole, there's so much more than the times or because that whole talk at the National Running Show, although I didn't really get to talk about what I wanted to talk about, it was always going to be trying to loop back to the fact that, like, look, if you're the mid-pack is arguably, for me, the best place to be.
That's where the party happens.
Yeah, and it's because hopefully you can be happy. That's where people are really happy and all that kind of thing. But it has to be the whole thing. It's like if you're miserable during training and it's taking you 4 months to train for one single race, it's almost like, what is the point? You've got to make,
well, this is it. And that's what I was saying earlier, wasn't it? You know, if you're miserable, you're not enjoying it, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, if it means, you know, right, why am I miserable? Oh, 'cause I'm constantly pounding this tarmac. Well, if you have to go drive 5 minutes to your nearest beach, go run on the beach, mix it, you know, change it up a little bit, find those little differences in your routes. And, oh, you're doing the same hills every time. Go find a different hill, one that's maybe a bit longer but not as steep, or one that's shorter but slightly steeper. You know, and that's a big thing. If you're not enjoying it, you're doing something wrong. And, you know, it's like addicts, isn't it? It's admitting you've got that problem in the first place. Once you've admitted, you know, you're doing something wrong, it's then how do you rectify it? And it's looking to guys like you, you know, if you're coached, you know, what do you suggest? You know, if I came to you as an example, you know, why I'm not enjoying this, this is what I'm doing, I would hope that you go, well, have you tried doing this? And, you know, oh, well, I tried doing this. Or actually, sack that, we'll do it something slightly different. And then hopefully it all clicks in and they start enjoying it again. Well, and that's
a lot
what
of it is, mate. It's
that's what people...
It's getting clear on what you want. kind of thing. Like you had a clear reason, and this is why a lot of people that was in a similar position like yourself do really well, as in being just happy with running. A bit like Nigel that was on the podcast, he's a good friend. He had a similar kind of light bulb moment. He saw a picture of himself and he was like, fuck this. I need to do something to change. And if you've got that memory, you've got that to draw back on. It's kind of like, that's what I'll always ask someone. Well, what do you want from running? Is it, do you want to stand on a podium kind of thing? Yeah, which is that's not much fun kind of thing. Or do you want to, it might just be, challenge yourself in a way that you can be proud of kind of thing, yeah? Some people might just want to be that role model for their kids, yeah? Other people might just want to beat Dickhead Dave at the club. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not that one's better than the other, but you have to get clear on what they want and then you can build it around that. It's like, right, okay, if you want to, if you want that, if you want to be, if you want to feel proud more, yeah, you won't feel prouder standing on a bloody, on a podium, because if you were third, you'll want to finish second, yeah? And if you finished first, you'll feel like everyone's kind of after you.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, yeah? It's like, if you want to feel proud, it's you can do that by just doing something similar to you. It might be a run streak, it might be, it could be anything, mate.
Well, this is it. You can still achieve a lot of your goals that you want and still have fun. You know, I mean, I've achieved a run streak. I've achieved a podium place. I've achieved over 100-mile runs in a 1 hour. I've done all that as well as having fun, you know.
I was thinking, like, what would you rather do? Would you rather stand on a podium where you don't really know anyone anyway or kind of thing? What's going to make you happier, doing that or going for an hour's run in the woods or the hills with part of your family or whatever, or your friends, it doesn't really matter, yeah?
The podium is always a bonus in my eyes. Maybe my thinking of that is because I'm a mid-pack runner. I've only ever had one podium. So that will always be a bonus. So it's always going to be, for me, going for a run in the woods with family or friends or what have you, or going to a race with friends and supporting other runners if they need it, if someone's after their PB and I can help them, I'll do that. Because again, helping someone will give you that, you know, endorphins and serotonin release that you want, isn't it? It's getting that runner's high without having to inject yourself full of Dettol or something, you know?
That's why there's so many, like, there's lots of people feeling quite good at the minute, even though we're in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. But giving feels good, doesn't it? And a lot of people are in a giving mood, and it's starting to make them feel a bit better.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you don't have to do what we do. You don't have to stand up, you know, on the middle of the moors doing a stupid dance. It could be a simple case of, you know, giving someone a bit of, you know, well done, buddy. You know, that's a strong one. It's just giving them a bit of appreciation, especially if you know they've only just started. You know, giving them that bit of confidence, because you know, as I know, when you first start out and you go running down the street, you've got that feeling of people watching you as they drive past. And if you were like me, you were getting insults thrown out of the cars, you know, run, fat boy, run, and all that sort of stuff. That could be quite demoralizing when you first start. You're body conscious. Even if you're a bloke, I know I was, you could be quite body conscious, you know, does my dick look small in these tights? You know, all that sort of stuff. And if you post about it, which is a big step for a lot of people, you know, and it doesn't take 2 seconds just to go, well done, buddy. You know, someone's acknowledged the effort you put in. And that can make someone's day, and that gives them the confidence, you know, to, all right, you know what, that was hard work. I'm going to go out again and go again and so forth, you know, and then eventually it may turn into a habit, you know, the motivation will turn into a habit eventually, and it could go to a different place. And I'm hoping that's happening with a lot of our lockdown runners. I'm calling them lockdown runners because we've had a lot start up during this period. And I'm hoping they've had a lot of praise and acknowledgement from people to keep going. It's nothing worse than those gym wankers that, you know, post about those that turned up on the 1st of January because they want to start a new life, want to make a lifetime change, and then people are berating them because they're taking up their gym.
Yeah.
You know? Instead of supporting them.
I've got this theory that running is really good for it because I've been self-employed for however, I don't even know how long now, But when you're in it, I don't know of in work and things like that, that people don't get the pats on the back that often, do they? People are stressed all the time. So when they come to running and someone says well done, or even just the bloody kudos or whatever it is on Strava, just something simple like that could make someone's day, which that might sound ridiculous. But I think that's why running can be great for people. There is the double-edged sword as well, but there is encouragement. Most people are encouragement, even if it's me taking the piss out of certain things. It's if you follow me long enough, hopefully you know it's coming from a good place kind of thing.
Definitely. It's not a case of going searching for likes. Yeah. That's not what we're talking about. This is acknowledging someone's effort.
What you're doing it's not you're encouraging people to look for the likes or whatever. It's more that you're encouraging people to give people a pat on the back or say well done and things like that.
Especially during this time where you can't physically, it's starting to improve now, but you couldn't physically run with someone and at the end give a fist bump or a hug, you know, what have you, afterwards say, that was bloody hard work, but cheers for coming out. You know, you can't do that at the moment properly. So that like, that comment, you know, good stuff, could be that hug that they wanted after the run, especially if it was a hard session or they just started out or they've had a bit of abuse on the roads because you still get it and all that sort of stuff. You know, we're in that area now where, you know, social media is good and bad, and I think if it's used in the right way,
there's a lot of people that are, I know that because I still coach the local group as well, and I think they've been pretty good, my lot. But my worry was at first, just in general, is people enjoy running because they can join up with their local club and they feel safe and they don't have to run on their own for the reasons that you've listed. But a lot of people, guys and women, will have had that taken away from them, that security of running with the group or whatever, and then they've been forced to either run locally kind of thing, which they might have never ran down their own street before. They might never have ran in daylight before. They might never have run on their own before, things like this. And I just remember thinking, I hope that these people can just get out, because like at that running show, I said, no, people don't really care. Even the ones that even if they threw a comment at you, they're not even directing it at you. They're not thinking about it 5 seconds after they've done it. Kind of thing.
They just go look for the next person to abuse. They don't really give a shit.
Although sometimes I do give running clubs kind of thing a bit of a hard time again, but it's only in this instance, I just hope that the people that were in that situation can keep running.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with my running club. I've done a few challenges, and I'm part of other groups that are doing lockdown challenges and stuff like that. And I've had messages saying, you know, thanks, because it's helping them get out. You know, it's just simple things like that to help people who normally would be running with people from the club every time, you know, at a certain time of the week. You know, and now they've got to work around homeschooling and stuff like that, and they can't go to the club. So, you know, I've given people that little bit of encouragement and confidence to get out may put them in a better place for when we fall out of this place, fall out of this shit situation. It's down to that routine we were talking about earlier. You know, if they haven't got that routine of going out for a run because they've lost it, you know, they start dwindling about and they start going on a downward spiral.
Again, linking back, because you've ran every day for the past year. And what would you say to the people, to the runners that are kind of, they might worry about getting out. They might worry about what other people might think about them. Because I think you're in a good position to come from 10 years ago all the way up to now. Like I said, you're running every day, but that's not the impressive thing to me. Sorry, mate. The impressive thing to me is in the manner that you did it. Like you said, dressing up in the dinosaur suit and all kinds of different things. Have you got any advice for people that? Because I know there's lots of people that are running less now for those reasons, that are kind of becoming a bit isolated in their running without sounding too dramatic.
No, you need to find small goals to get you out. And that's what I've done. I found small goals. So for me, it was to try and, one of the goals was to try and carry on most of my training. I was planning for myself. So getting those hill reps in, getting those intervals in, what have you. So I've got positives to tick off from those sessions. And then the other thing is, from those little goals, is right. Why did I want to dress up as an inflatable dinosaur or Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Well, there's people out there that needed cheering up in my local area. There's kids and all that stuck inside, and it was a good excuse for them to have a laugh at my expense.
Yeah.
Because if fucking hurt that dinosaur, I didn't wear any leggings underneath, so I chafed the back of my legs quite badly. So, you know, it was those little goals of remembering why I was going out for a run on that specific day. So what did I want to achieve from that day? So if it was to make someone smile, that was my goal for the day. If it was to make me smile, that was my goal for the day.
Yeah.
If it was to smash out my fastest 10K, that was my goal for the day. If it was, you know, to fit in a 15-mile run while taking pictures of various things for the lockdown challenge that I was doing, that was my goal for the day. So it's not running sub 4-hour marathons. It's not running a new 50K PB or anything like that. It was just little goals that were achievable around the guidelines and the restrictions and everything else that I was able to do. And I've got a treadmill. I could have done half of the stuff on the treadmill, but I haven't used it at all since the beginning of the streak, because I made the most of getting outside. While I've been allowed, why do I want to stay inside?
Yeah.
You know, that's what doesn't help you. You know, cabin fever is a real thing. People don't think it's a real thing. It actually is.
Yeah, can imagine.
You know, if you're stuck inside a tin can like I've been for months on end, you know, you need that fresh air. So for me, it was, we'd go on the upper deck and I'd either run around the upper deck if I could, if it was in bounds. I'd take a coffee and sit on the bollards on the flight deck and watch the sun go down. That automatically puts your head in the right place. And it was the same for this, you know, unless I was told I could not physically go out.
Yeah.
I was going to go out, you know, and I was going to have my run.
That was my kind of thinking as well. Because that's what I enjoy, and I get it that some people are raising money for charity and things like this in their backyards and things like this, but it also swung the other way. It was like, I'm doing this, and it was just a will waving competition kind of thing, and a big pissing contest on social media. It's like, look, you can still get out. So I would be encouraging people to still get out, whether that's a walk with their bloody dog and family or a run, I don't care. While we can, I would get out, because like I'm coaching people in Ireland that were on the 2K limit kind of thing. So they've got different restrictions.
I'd still be smashing it out in the 2K limit.
Yeah. And it was, but then I've also had people, I remember coaching a guy that was in the forces and he could only, well, it was like 40 degrees where he was based.
Yeah.
He was like, I can't go and run. I was like, no, you don't go and run, mate. Go and your training is going out. A bit like what you said, 45 minutes of a walk around your compound, have a sit down, have a breather, whatever, because it wasn't going to be forever kind of thing. Can you imagine saying to someone like that, okay, we're going to do a 12 hours in the 40 degree because that's all you can do. It's just, you can...
like you said, while you can still, if Boris had said you're not allowed actually outside your house, or if you are one of these people that is like you literally you've got no garden space or anything, then I do get it. But if you can get out, honestly, get out.
Yeah, I that's been one of the biggest things that I don't understand with people's mentality. And you know, if you're not being told to do something, why are you doing the opposite?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not good for your mental health. It's not. It's not good for your physical health either. If you're trapped inside four walls and the air is stale, because you might have a window open or something, but it's not circulating the air. So you're not getting the fresh air. You're not getting the vitamin D that your body. And again, we talk about giving your body TLC. You know, you've got to give your mind and your body that loving that it requires, and that means going for a walk around the block or going for a half a mile jog or cycle or whatever. You do it. Don't take that away from yourself, because you're just causing issues.
Or dancing, right? or dancing.
Oh yeah, go for a dance. Nothing wrong with that. I've got quite a few people now into our ranting. You've caused quite a big storm here.
One of your lot messaged me saying, "What are the rules with this rancing? How do I take part?" I'm like, there's no rules. Just Owen's told me to message you to find out the rules. I'm like, there's no rules. Just you can tag me if you want. I enjoy seeing them. It cracks me up, honestly. There's nothing like it was from the first, because I used to, as a group coach, like I went from PT in the gym to PT outside the gym to group training outside to all like, and as it evolved, and then I made one video. I used to make a couple of videos and stuck them in the private members group, and then I almost got dared to put it on the
that sounds dirty
Facebook. Yeah, put it on the Facebook page.
I made some videos and stuck in a private members group.
That's the WhatsApp group. I have to keep them separate. And that was just me dicking around, basically. And that got more attention than ever. And it wasn't the attention that it brought. It was almost like, actually, people enjoy this side of things more than me showing how to do a burpee or something daft like that, yeah? Fast forward a couple of years, and now I'm, like, there's only a small following on Instagram. These days, I lose just the same amount that I gain, kind of thing, yeah? But yeah, if someone tags me in it or it's on their stories and they're doing the rancing or whatever we want to call it, God, that makes my day just as much as someone who I've trained for 6 months and they complete like a 100-miler, because I know that I've affected them in a good way.
There's no one's going to say they did a rant and not enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you wouldn't have posted it.
Yeah.
And
people send them to me and say, please don't share this. but I just wanted you to see this. And I don't share them because that would be that would be horrible for them. But yeah, so there's people out there doing it now. And it's not like I invented it or anything, but I just think it's funny.
How people you may not have invented it, but you definitely gave it the global knowledge that it deserves.
Well, it's fun, like you can ask my friends, that's basically just how I behaved when like on a night out kind of thing. And then I can't take the nights out anymore. So it's just, I do it in the running instead. And then it kind of like, well, yeah, I'll just put it out to people. And it is funny, like when you picked it up or whatever, but it's when you can see people that would never in a million years probably do it. That's what makes me laugh kind of thing. Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah, I mean, I get similar responses. I've had people tagging me into their ranting videos, and I'm like, well, I'm not the grandmaster, but I'll look at it for him. And then you can tell they were like looking around, seeing if anyone's doing it, but they're having such a whale of a time dancing around. And, you know, they're even asking me for song requests. You know, what do you want me to do? I'm like, whatever you want to do, but you know. Try this one for starters or something, you know? And I just think it just makes the world a better place, having a laugh, doesn't it? Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I follow you, is the fact that, you know,
I love
you
it when I get smile, an odd comment like stop fucking dancing and do more training or something. I'll get the odd comment like that. Well, yeah, do let your running do the talking. And sometimes I think, mate, like I'm training hard enough. Don't worry about that. If I want, like, you're seeing 3 minutes of my week.
If you just let your running do the talking, you would only have a certain type of people following you, right? And that'd be those people that told you.
Yeah, not many, because I'm not up there.
Because you're not just about the running, and you're not just about telling people off for, I don't know, foam rolling or something like that. You're doing other things like having a dance and, you know, doing other videos that you're getting the other followers to come and have a look. And they're going, actually, he's making running look fun. I might take up running. I might start doing a bit of running, because they're following. And then they start listening to your advice, you know, and they start, oh, you know, he's actually right. I did that the other day and I fucked myself over. Why didn't I follow this guy before? So if you stuck to doing just running, you'd only have a certain type of follower, where now you've got a mixture of followers, including myself, that look at you, have a laugh, and maybe you inspire people to do more than just go for a run. I think that's a great thing. People have said that.
Go on. I think it lagged then. Go on.
I think I've had similar messages about this, you know, come to me saying that I inspire people. I don't set out to inspire people, but if it helps someone, then that's not a bad thing, is it? You know, if it's got someone into running, or if it's got someone into wanting to improve themselves or just having fun, then it's a good thing, for whether it's you, me, or Joe Blogs down the road. It makes a difference.
And I try and get across to people, you don't know who you'll be inspiring along the way. That's what I always like to people to think of. And that's, again, without sounding too mushy, you will be inspiring someone in some kind of way. It's not about massive kind of achievements, maybe, but even if you're, like you said, if you're out on your run streak and it's howling winds, pissing down or whatever, you might just get one person to go out for a run that day. And that's great, and kind of thing, yeah. And it might just be, if you've got a horrendous song on and you're doing your dancing, the rancing, you might just inspire people to get out as well. And it comes in.
Yeah, and I've had exactly that. You know, I've had someone say, "Oh, I wasn't going to go out," and then I saw you go out for that run in the horrendous weather, and I thought, I can't be a pansy, so off they went.
The worst thing that ever happened to me was, well, not the worst thing, I'm glad it happened. That first time because back in school, the first time I made a classroom laugh, that was it then. I was just that kind of thing. So I always try and, like I say to people, making people laugh and smile is equal to when someone tells me, oh, I learned this from you 6 months ago and it's really helped. Those two things, they really do it for me. That's why I do what I do, I guess.
Definitely. I think anyone who can make someone laugh or smile is a doctor, because it's the best form of medicine, isn't it? You know, it automatically, even if it only lasts for, I don't know, 5 minutes, it's made someone smile for 5 minutes, and that could have, you know, stopped them from doing something stupid.
And that's not to say, like, it's about being joke. It's like you're saying, someone might laugh at the fact that we are out in the rain. It's like, what the hell are they doing that for? It might just be the fact that, like, the dancing kind of thing, it's not meant to be serious kind of thing. It's hopefully meant to give people a laugh.
If you're taking it too serious, or if you're trying to do it too seriously, it doesn't come across right either. You know,
I mean, I'm taking it seriously at the time. Don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah.
At the time, you know, I think
takes a lot of thoughts, mate, to go into today's videos.
Trust me, it takes a lot. You want to see the editing process, because God,
you edit yours.
Well, I have. Yeah, you know, when I just cut it up. Or whatever. But you should see this.
I thought it was one shot, mate.
Oh, mate. Yeah. No, you did one long thing, and then just having to watch. I mean, people say, how do you put that up, kind of thing? Some people say, like, I don't know how you put that up. So don't you want it? It's not putting it up. It's how you go through looking, watching it yourself back. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, definitely. When I was stood in that bloody cold water thinking, this bloody ready, get some laughs. Gary must like this one, otherwise I won't be happy. Yeah. although I think the one on the bridge definitely got the best reactions, I think, from a lot of people.
Yeah.
My sexy dancing.
Well, you were going up a level each time, whereas mine's just kind of petered. Like mine's plateaued a long time ago. I've only got a few. You're going up a level every time.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm still new to this Ranson game, aren't I? So, you know, I've got to experiment here and there, and I can't keep up level one or two. I've got to go up and, you know, bring something new. It's like, this takes us back to the question we went off ages ago, where you said, oh, the marathon, I needed to find a new challenge, and that's how I got into ultras 2 years later. Because I sort of, the London Marathon, I sort of dwindled out in between. I had work and stuff like that with the Navy, and I sort of dwindled out. And then I thought, well, I've done a marathon now. What? No one's gonna think, oh, well done, you've done another marathon. You know, what's the next thing? And ultramarathon. Well, what's that?
After your first one, then it becomes about time, doesn't it? So you've got exactly. Ways, yeah. You either want to
DNF my first ultramarathon.
Or you take. You took the easier route and just went longer and slower.
Yeah, well, that's it. This is it. I did the wall ultra up at Carlisle Newcastle.
Is that the one they try and sell it as if it's going to be like Hadrian's Wall, but you just run along the pavement?
Don't forget, I had no idea. I knew nothing. I thought, oh, that sounds really cool. Yeah, run along Hadrian's Wall.
Horrible that route.
Yeah, I think I saw about, 2 foot of it.
Yeah.
And it's advertised as mostly off road. On road.
Alongside the motorway or something.
Again, yeah, I fucked that up as well. I was poorly undertrained for it as well. I thought I could wing this, but I didn't. So I got to 40 miles and I was feeling every stone through my shoe and talking to sheep. And I was like, nah, enough's enough. So I quit at 40 miles. but, you know, it taught me something, which is the main thing. And I moved on from it and I learned from those mistakes. But it was from then on, I was like, well, each time I'm going to have to do something bigger, harder. So obviously I did my New Forester Land's End event. And then I did North Wales to South Wales and then tried racing a 64-mile race the day after. And many stupid things, you know, just to keep pushing myself and challenging myself, you know.
Because you do a wide range of distances and terrain and all sorts. So
I don't specialise in a distance like, oh, 50K is my bag, that's what I'm going to stick at.
Mm.
You know, maybe if I was a lot quicker, like, you know, and able to do it in, 3 hours, like some of the fastest 50Kers in the world, you know, then maybe I would. But because I'm most of the time either in the middle of the pack or tailing Charlie or something, you know, it's about finding something different, something new, doing different routes, different races, different courses, find out what it is. I mean, I met you through, that's where I first saw you as you flashed past me as Equinox 24 in 2015.
2015.
And you won that race, yeah.
Yeah.
I was still, you know, recovering from my run from New Forest to Land's End. That's my excuse for not beating you.
I just remember the bandana kind of situation. Yeah. there's that guy again. Yeah, because you. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I mean, it's, you know, and this is a thing. Each time I do an event now, is more so what can I do more than you know. Oh, I want to win a 100-mile race. Oh, I'd love to win a 100-mile race, but I've got to finish the bugger first. You know, it's a different 100-mile race this time, so it's different to the last one. You know, no, unless I go back and do the same race over and over again, you're not going to have the same criteria, are you? You're not going to have the same weather. You're not going to have the same terrain. So you know, you could, you know, you won the Equinox 24, but if you went and did another 24-hour hilly race, say Hope 24 or something like, you may not win it because, you know, it's a different, it's different laps, it's different routes, it's, you know, it's different perspectives, isn't it? And you obviously different races as well. You have different runners there. It might be someone who's a lot better than you, or you might completely wipe everyone's. You know, it's, you can't. I can't do that. So I have to pick different races for different reasons. So Escape from Meriden, as an example, that is a fantastic race because you could do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. Obviously, there's a goal. You know, you need to beat certain distances as a crow flies. But you're racing against people without racing against people. It's brilliant. Yeah. You know, I loved it. The fact that you can run miles and miles and not see any of the other competitors, but you know they're racing you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know,
that might be the future of racing for a bit.
Well, this is it. You know, I think Richard's ahead of his time. Yeah. I think it, you know, Escape from Meriden, I think we got something similar, which Richard helps down here, called Escape from Dartmoor Prison. Very, very same sort of concept, but it's run by the Dartmoor Rescue lot. He helps with all the timing and stuff. So, you know, those type of races could be the way we head now, where people are setting off at different times and stuff. Yeah. And I wouldn't want to be a race director. I really wouldn't at this time. Not organising races with restrictions and stuff. You know, it's bad enough having to cancel races when it's not their fault, you know.
So with that kind of in mind, like, because I don't want to keep you too long.
That's right.
So tomorrow...
I've got a bar, mate. I could drink all day.
That's, yeah. Tomorrow is a year plus one. Have you got any targets with your run streak, or is it just take each day as it comes?
So the run streak is every day as it comes, and that's how it's been from the start.
Yeah.
You know, until something stops me or I basically can't be asked anymore, then I'll stop. I've still got goals ahead. So I've got two races that are still going ahead at the moment.
Yeah.
I've got the Fat Jack, which is down west, deep west Cornwall. Do you know Cornwall much? Have you been at all?
Yeah, I've been when I was a kid. Yeah.
Okay, so it basically between Land's End and St Ives is a really, really nailed section of the southwest coast of Bath, where there's not many places people can meet you, like your crew and stuff like that. So I've got a race called Fat Jack, which is a 17-mile race, but times four. So it's back and forth, basically four times. So that's in October. So there's a good chance, because there's not many numbers of us. No. There's only, I think there's only like 20 of us at the moment.
20.
It's not many, mate. Because of the type of race it is, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted.
That's got a good chance then,
So there's a good chance that could go on. And then obviously I've got my second attempt at the Arc of Attrition 100-mile in February. That's the main goal that all this year was aiming for, because I really fucked up at the beginning when I did it last year.
That's one I'd love to go and do at some point, It's quite far away, though. It's easier for me to go to Spain, to be honest.
Yeah, but, you know, you don't have to deal with the Spanish.
Yeah. don't mind the Spanish, mate. It's once you go London or south. Oof.
Oh, mate, but I would say Cornwall's a beautiful place, but that time of year, it's hellish. But it's part of the challenge. And the thing is, you said someone asked you, would you do the spine? And you said you'd rather run in a race.
Yeah.
But you could do that in the arc. There is plenty of running. I mean, the fastest times for it, you know, I think the course record is 21 hours.
Yeah.
In horrendous weather, you know. I think that most first places are doing it in about 22 hours. So
what I like about
it's runnable.
The thing that's selling me on those races is more the, because I've coached people that have done the 50 and the 100 and things, more the atmosphere and the way it's ran and everything. That's what's drew me to the Highland in Scotland and things like that.
You know, I mean, I am good friends with the run directors, but that's not the reason why I love it. I've, There is something special about the atmosphere you get down, the way you get treated. Okay, it's not the most cheapest of races, I admit, but when you look at what you get for your money, and that's what I do a lot of the races, is look what you're going to get for your money. They're not skimping out on stuff, you know. So the aid stations, although there's only four of them, you get given a bloody menu, a proper menu of what you want, all right? So you'll have valets as you're coming into the aid station. They'll get your menu choice and have it ready for you, ready for when you come in. So you're not wasting too much time if you don't want to waste time. They'll have the chili ready. They'll have the scones with cream and jam ready. And they'll have all sorts, you know, soup and rolls and everything that you can imagine. But it'll all be prepped, ready to go. You know, they'll have valets to get you in. They'll have valets to get you back out. You know, then you're just looked after properly, you know, and it doesn't matter whether you're the front runner or whether you're the last runner. In fact, they probably give more love to the last runner than they do the front runner, because the last runner is still going, you know, and they want you to succeed. Although the race is designed to be hard, you know, why it has tight cutoffs and, you know, the terrain it's on, the weather, they don't cancel even in Storm Kieran or whatever it was, they still go on. They still want people to succeed, although they like having that high DNF rate. They still want people to succeed. Mm. And if you're still able to succeed, they will make sure you're looked after, you know?
There's a big difference between a DNF rate because it's legitimately hard versus just kind of, for want of a better word, like lack of, like crappy organisation kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Like if there's like an event like that isn't, it's not set up for you to fail. If you fail, it's almost on you. And if it's,
yeah, mine was
kind of thing. And I think if I was as a race, that's how it should be. Like there's nothing. You never want to fail a race because of the organisation or something. It does happen, especially these days with there's so many races pop up and everything like that. And I know how difficult it must be to put a race on, but.
I mean, when you've got other race directors coming down from Centurion and stuff like that to race it, you know, it's a pretty good race, because that's normally a good sort of slap on the back for a race director when you've got other race directors coming back down, and they come down time again to race because they enjoy your race, you know. So, you know, you can't complain with stuff like that. And
you've got races. I would definitely recommend the scale, isn't there? There's like the Cockburn events and everything.
Definitely,
like, he makes it absolutely clear that you're pretty much self-sufficient, aren't you? When you've got to qualify and everything. He could, like, I don't know him personally, but he could open that up, those races up to a lot more people and probably make a lot more cash. But that's not what he's about. That's not the philosophy of the races. The guys taking and the girls taking part in these and his races have to be self-sufficient kind of thing to most of it, don't they? And it's in the events like the Centurion and everything, they have to be self-sufficient as well. Everyone is looked after in a way that you can complete that race kind of thing, can't you? There's no reason why you wouldn't complete that race unless you're underprepared, fucked it up, that kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly that, you know. If it's an organisation that go out its way to get a DNF rate, then that's the wrong type of organisation.
Yeah.
If they go out their way to try and prevent as much DNF as possible, logistically possible, but there's still a high DNF rate because it's a hard race and people have fucked it up, or the, you know, what have you, then that's a good organisation.
Yeah.
You know, the 36-hour race I did, you know, it was a small race. You know, there's 24-hours and 12-hours races, and there was only, you know, I think it was about 20-odd of us all together throughout the three disciplines. And it was strict, you know, but you knew that when you signed that dotted line, you paid your good money across, you knew you couldn't take more than a 15-minute break at either end of the lap. And that included toilets, having a massage and eating. You know, you had to plan that and you couldn't leave the course. You know, you couldn't have any pacers. You know, the rules were there to make it hard, but you were looked after.
Yeah.
You know, and they made sure that pretty much everyone, as best they could, finished. Mm. Right. I think there was only one DNF out of all the runners. And they got to wear the jester's hat, which was quite nice, just to make them look silly. But that wasn't because the race, it wasn't the race's fault. It was just they had issues, you know, physically, and they couldn't complete it.
Yeah.
You know, but it was still a tough race, you know. There wasn't a moment I didn't go past by that. I just wanted to curl up in a fetal position. you know, because, you know, 6 hours constantly moving with, and not being allowed to actually stop, pretty much, it's horrendous. You know, when you're used to, obviously, races where, you got a 36-hour cut-off, but you know it's a mile race, you can tick off the miles and stuff like that. It's a, and 24 hours is different to a 36-hour race. You know, if you go balls out for 24 hours, you've still got another 12 hours to go.
Yeah.
So it's a different mindset and all that sort of stuff.
Well, and just think of, imagine something like Equinox. Imagine if they put a 15-minute, you could only spend 15 minutes off the lap or whatever kind of thing. It'd be a completely different race, wouldn't it? So it's aimed at completely different people then.
Exactly. And that's why there was so small numbers, because it only appeals to certain people, or only certain people have big enough balls to enter it. I mean, when you've got to carry a mandatory kit round for a half mile up and back lap, mandatory kit, that's coat in the summer, you know, a mini first aid kit, you carry liquid, all sorts of things, when there's really no point just to piss you off. You know, that, but you have to carry it, you know, there's going to be people that go, I ain't going to enter that because that's a pain in the ass. Well, go enter, I don't know, go enter Race for Life or something. You know, you've got to challenge yourself, haven't you? Yeah. Otherwise, it's not much point. You challenge yourself by doing, you know, mega races like Dragon's Back, stuff like that. Even if they don't go well for you, you know, you're still challenging yourself to try and do the best you can. And I think that's the whole point of it, isn't it? You know, to challenge yourself is to improve yourself, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
like that.
Definitely. You've got to have that bit of challenge. You've got to have a little bit of the fear that you might not complete it. You've got to have the excitement for it, all those kind of things. Not just doing it because it's the in race to do, or you think you should be doing it kind of thing. It should have all those different values attached to it, I think. Yeah, when I'm picking races, it's like, can I see myself training specifically for that for the next 3 or 4 months or something? And do I want to be in? Do I want to be in that location or anything like that?
Well, that's the thing, because you know you're looking up flying off to Chamonix and stuff to do TDS and what have you. You're not going to pay all that money and for the flights and the accommodation and obviously the race, and then do all the races to qualify to get those points in the first place. You know, if it's not going to challenge you and tick all those boxes, just because it's the in thing to do.
Yeah.
No, you need to do it for the right reasons. Otherwise you're not going to train properly. You're not going to focus properly.
Yeah. Cause that's, it's similar. That's why I didn't go for the UTMB. That I will hopefully do it one day, but the TDS appeal to me more because of the route, and it's a bit more technical and that kind of thing. That's what I want to. That's the line.
You just wait for Killian to retire, so you can.
Yeah, yeah. They're not allowed out, are they? Apparently, Solomon Lott. They.
Yeah, UTMB. Well, yeah, they're being well looked after, aren't they, at the moment?
Right, I'm gonna draw a conclusion there, mate.
Are they?
Yeah. Thanks for catching up.
That's right. Any time.
I've just realised I'm on dad duty in a minute. So
yeah, I shouldn't really go see my son, but he's probably playing Fortnite. So.
Yeah, it's been great catching up. Well done on the year. It's massive. I remember, I forgot to mention, this was one of the main things I was going to say. One of the girls in our group, she did a similar run streak. It snowballed and it turned into a year. She did feel pressure on it towards the end, kind of thing, and she carried on running, obviously. She's still training well now, but she didn't carry on the run streak. But I remember we all went down the morning of it to surprise her on her last run, kind of thing, for the year. And I just remember it's interesting because it was complete relief. Yeah, that was the overriding emotion, I think, from her. It was just complete relief that she'd got to the year. And then I think she took the next day off or whatever and then just started training as normal again. So it's interesting to see all these different these run streaks. That's why I've really taken to yours, because I'm not a massive fan of run streaks or anything. I just enjoyed the way you did it. Like you say, tomorrow, if you wake up and you don't want to run and you honestly don't want to run, I reckon you won't. And you'll be all right with it.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Just another thing, just these days it comes. I'm just lucky to be able to run, and that's the main thing. I'm able to go out there and stretch my legs and stick off. We've got 24 hours in the day. I can fit 20 minutes in somewhere. So,
what's the world record? Do you know? Have you had a look?
It's Dr. Ron Hill. He's 52 years and 70 odd days. Meant 300 odd days. He only stopped because of ill health. He was 80 odd years old.
I remember when he stopped. For some reason, I didn't realise it was a world record, but it's going to be the world record, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean, he managed to secure Olympic places. He won Boston while doing it. His improvement, and this from his own, he improved so much, able to him to do all those sort of things. Mm. Which he believed he wouldn't be ever done if he had not been run streaking. And I do feel the same with my streak. It has improved me in so many ways, as I wrote. I think if you can, there's no issue. Mm. When people say, oh, isn't it bad for you? I get it all the time. Isn't it bad for you?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I run every day unless something tells me otherwise, as in an injury or a hangover.
Exactly. I still run with a hangover.
That's the one thing I can't really do.
I got one over Gary. Yay. It's if you get the opportunity to streak, I would recommend it. Obviously, it's not for everyone. It's like anything.
Run streaking, yeah.
Yeah.
Just in general.
I expect to see you in the next video. Just your pants on. I recommend it to anyone, or even just doing something every day.
Yeah.
Something active every day. You'll feel a much better person for it. So whether you do strengthening one day with weights and then running the next day, swimming the following day, cycling the next, and then running. As long as you're doing something every day, I think everyone will reap the benefits from it. That's my recommendation to everyone. Do something every day.
Brilliant, mate. Thanks for that. Before I let you go, because I know you've got great Instagram and everything, but give us a rundown of where we can follow your stuff, and because your podcast, your Instagram, the blogging, any of that, give us a rundown.
Okay, so my blog is Ultra Running Matlow, spelt mate lot, but pronounced Matlow. It's French for sailor.
I got that wrong, didn't I?
UltraRunningMatlow.co.uk is my blog. My Instagram is Ultra_run_Matlow. Got a Facebook page, Ultra Running Matlow. Twitter at Mad Moosey. That's a different reason why I'm called Moosey. I'll go into another story for that. Obviously, you can find me on all those. My podcast is If My Feet Could Talk, because pretty much this is exactly what we've just done. We just talked about what our feet have been doing over the last year and up until everything, mental health and all that sort of stuff. So
great name, by the way. There's lots of shit podcast names, mine included, but I like that name.
Thank you. if my feet could talk, it's just finished its first series. I'll be starting the next one.
Where's the invite? Excuse me.
Say again?
Where's the invite?
Oh, well, your invite is actually definitely in the post.
No,
I'll tell you why. I was a bit scared about asking you.
Oh, don't give me that, mate.
I got a bit of a boy crush on you, right? So, I was like, do I ask him? Because, he's a bit up there and I'm a bit down here.
No, you're joking, aren't you? You've seen me talk. Christ. Yeah.
But yeah, it's in the post. I'll be starting the second series in about 2 or 3 weeks. I've got a blog to write, which is what I've sort of put that to one side while I've been doing all the podcasting. So I've got a blog to write, and I'll be smashing out the invites to the next lot of people, including yourself, Gary.
Great, mate. Great. Well, I've co-bowed my way into that, haven't I? So well. Right. Thanks again, mate. Yeah, keep up the good work. I'll catch up with you another time anyway. Keep running, mate. Thank you.
And you, mate. Cheers.